Grieving God's Gift. That's the title of the message this morning. There are many who are not fully aware of the Holy Spirit's part in our redemption and our lives after salvation. In our redemption, He draws us to God, John 6:44 and 16:7-11. He borns us into God's family, John 1:11-13 and chapter 3:5-7. As through the word of God, John 5:24, Ephesians 2:8-9, and Romans 10:17. And at the time of the new birth, He baptizes us into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12. He seals us unto the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. He leads us in the paths of righteousness, right living, Romans 8:9-14, Galatians 5:16, Psalm 23:1-3. And when we allow Him, He fills us, Ephesians 5:18-20. We shall be quickened by the Holy Spirit in the first resurrection, which will occur at the rapture of the church, 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul, he begged the Ephesian believers not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You see, it is possible for a believer to grieve the Spirit, and it is also possible for a believer to quench the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And we should recognize and realize the Bible truth that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should be careful, very careful, how we treat Him. He is a part of the Godhead. He is God the Spirit, just as Christ is God the Son and God is God the Father. He is a real person, just as surely the Father is and the Son is. And in like manner, the Holy Spirit is a real person. He can be grieved, He can be quenched, and we should be very careful how we treat the Holy Spirit, who abides in our bosom. And just as the Son left the bosom of the Father to come into this earth, when He returned back to heaven, He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to reside in our bosom. And before we look at the grieving of the Spirit, I want us to just see the gift of the Spirit. Romans 8:15-17, we read, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." You see, we have not been saved to be fearful. We were fearful of death. Death brings fear, but only to those who are lost. The lost have no hope, no future. They see nothing but an end to life. Or some may believe in some type of reincarnation of some sort or some spiritual type of existence. But we believers have received the gift of God's adoption through the Holy Spirit. And notice our spirit is written in a small s, where the Holy Spirit, the word Spirit, is a capital letters, the Holy Spirit. And that word adoption means a son placing. So we have been placed into God's family. You see, the Holy Spirit wants you to know that you are completely accepted by the Father, that you belong to Him, that you are a part of His family, and that nothing can ever separate you from God. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. You see, God has adopted us into his family for eternity. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, and nothing, nothing at all can ever separate us from his love. Nothing. We belong to him for eternity. And there is no greater love than God's love for mankind. And I just wonder how much our families know we love them. How much do they know just how much we love them? Are they assured of our love for them? Do they feel safe and secure? Are they satisfied with our love for them as we are with God's love for us, whereby, verse 15 of Romans 8 says, we cry, Abba, Father. See, this is a cry of a young child calling out, an intimate cry, Daddy. You know, what a wonderful gift to know our Heavenly Father can be approached by us as a young child calling out to their daddy. The question is, when was the last time you and I approached God this way? When did you last call upon him in such hope and security as a child has in their daddy? Listen, we have immediate access to the throne of God. And in our homes, we should provide immediate access to each other. Oh, it's so easy to say, I'm busy. You've done that and I've done that. But God never does that. He gives us immediate, compassionate access to himself through the Holy Spirit of adoption. And God wants us to come boldly to his throne of grace. Now, he knows that some of us are hard-hearted. Some of us are cold-spirited. But he's never too busy for us. He is never hard-hearted towards us. Listen, don't let the devil drive you away from God. Because God wants you to know that you are welcome to come, no matter how you may feel, no matter how unfaithful we may have been. He wants to hear from his children because he's our Abba Father. The Holy Spirit also assures us of his presence with us. Verse 16 of Romans 8. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, when you are saved, you know you are. The Holy Spirit gives us the security of assurance. 1 Peter 1:5 reminds, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, we don't keep ourselves saved. Even though at times we may have that bit of a roller coaster. We may wonder, oh, I wonder if I am saved. But praise God, salvation isn't about what we wonder or what we feel like. Salvation is based on God's word. We are his adopted children, sealed by the Holy Spirit until we get to heaven. And verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You see, we are adopted into God's family. We are assured of our salvation. And now we see the place that we have in God's family. We are heirs of God. Now that means we're inheritors. It implies that we are literally a possessor. You see, God's given us a position in his family. But it isn't a position in a way of different levels of importance. It says there that we're joint heirs with Christ. And that joint heirs is one word. interesting enough, it means a co-heir or a fellow heir. We understand that. But it also means a participant with. An heir together with. With who? With Christ. Listen, this is better than being an heir of Elon Musk or King Charles. They may have great wealth. They may have great possessions. They may have great influence. But as a child of God, Ephesians 1:3 tells us, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, the down payment of that promise is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:14 tells us who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And it's unto the praise of His glory. You see, whatever you have, whatever you may be clinging to in this world, if you are not laying, as Matthew 6:20 tells us, treasures for yourself in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, or thieves break through to steal, then we're not laying up anything. See, nothing you or I have on this earth is going to go with us. And the problem is, Matthew 6:21 tells us, for where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. Now, what a wonderful thing to know that we have been, through the Holy Spirit, have been adopted into God's family. We have redemption. We've been sealed by the Spirit of God. We are an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Listen, we have it all. How then could we want to grieve the Spirit of God, which God's gift to us? Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That word grieve means to cause distress, to cause to be in heaviness, to cause sorrow. And we're told we're not to do that to the Holy Spirit. He is a real person, just as the Father and the Son are real persons. Now Christ, we're told Christ was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, Isaiah 53. Now I only know of some of Christ's wounds, some of His bruising. I know His beard was plucked out of His face. I know they beat Him in the mouth. I know they tore His back to shreds with a whip. I know they pushed thorns into His brow. I know they put nails in each hand and each foot. I know they thrust a spear into His side. And it's interesting, as I was studying this, the word wound there in Isaiah had many meanings, and I counted 17. But among those meanings, and listen up, was to take inheritance. To take inheritance as well as the sorrow. He took the inheritance. What inheritance did He have from us? Our sin. He took our inheritance, our sin, all the pain and suffering we deserve to suffer in hell, and He took it upon Himself on that cruel, cruel tree so that we could be partakers of His inheritance in glory. He was in great sorrow. He was wounded for our transgressions so we could have the great joy of salvation, eternity in His presence. How can we grieve His Spirit? Grieve not the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. We don't have to go around trying to find Him. He's not somewhere hiding away. He's in the believer eternally. Our body is His dwelling place. And we need to treat Him with respect. He helped us to come to Jesus. He enlightens the Word of God to our souls. He is our teacher and our God. He even helps us with our prayers when we know not what to pray. And we need to treat Him with respect. He is important in our lives, so let's not cheapen Him. How do we know we grieve Him? By doing anything that we know is not the will of God. You see, any time you or I do something contrary to what we know the will of God for our lives is, we grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, He is trying to get us to do God's will, and when we don't do God's will, it grieves Him. Now, if you ask someone you love to do something for you and they just refuse to do it, surely that must grieve you. Well, the Holy Spirit is grieved sometimes by the places we go to. Places He doesn't want to go to. If someone carried you to a place you didn't want to go, that would certainly grieve you. Someone may be trying to drag you to some place you know a Christian shouldn't be. Wouldn't that grieve you? Face the truth. You cannot take Him out of. You can't put Him in a drawer and wait till you get home and put Him back in. He's there permanently. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we do things that are not God's will for us. The places people go, the cesspools of this life and this world. These places of sin, indulging in their behaviors, grieves Him. No end. And the Holy Spirit, God's gift, who indwells us, who has sealed us, who has adopted us into God's family, should be given the respect of a good home, good enough for Him to live in. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Many times Christians grieve the Holy Spirit by what they look at. It's not God's will that we look at a lot of stuff. You may say, well, not everything's bad. No, it's not. But who wants to walk through 20 kilometers of sewage to get there? The Holy Spirit doesn't. The material that's being read, the things that are allowed through the eye gate, it's not God's will we look at a lot of that stuff. We need to consider what filthy things we look at that grieves the Holy Spirit. These glossy magazines of fashion, or these places that have stories of fornication and sex outside of marriage, about they read about the freedom of expression. You can express God all you like, but the garbage and the nonsense that is pouring into believers through the media and the focus they have on just trying to fill their lives with something other than God is atrocious. It grieves Him. It grieves the Holy Spirit for Christians to waste their time just flicking through these things while the dust is settling on the Word of God in their homes. It grieves the Holy Spirit when you keep Him also out of church. Where do you think He wants to go on a Sunday? He says to us, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We should be encouraging one another. Let's get into the house of God. That's what David said. Listen, he wrote the book. The Holy Spirit wrote the book. Look at Deuteronomy 31:12. Don't blame me. He wrote it. Gather the people together. Men and women and children and the stranger that is in thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. Is that what's being taught in our homes? To fear the Lord of God? To hear the word? To live according to Bible principles, not the world's principles? Listen, the Holy Spirit said in 1 Samuel 15:22, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity of idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord." Listen, you're not rebelling against the preacher. You're rebelling against the Holy Spirit. Rebelling against God. And he says those sort of people are no better than a coven of witches and a pack of idolaters. And it's a grief to the Holy Spirit when God's people do not go to church. That's what he says. Don't blame me. The real question at the moment is, what type of spirit is rising up in you at this moment? Oh, they'll go to the beach. They'll go to the park. They'll go to the markets. They'll stay at home. They'll go to other places, but they will not take the Holy Spirit to church. Hang on a minute. Listen, he indwells you. The question is, does he have control of you? Is he allowed to lead and guide you? What is in your heart and my heart that stinks? Because the Holy Spirit is in there with that stink. Listen, you show me anywhere in the Bible that the Holy Spirit is anywhere but in the heart of the believer. And listen, God put him there. God put him there. When Jesus left this earth, he promised he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to what? Come on, what? You should know. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. For how long? Forever. That's why there's only two thrones in heaven when we get there. And if your heart is full of jealousy, which stinks to him, unforgiveness, hurt feelings and envies, your heart's full of adultery. Listen, adultery doesn't have to be physical. If there's anger and you lose the plot, the bad thoughts, they smother the Holy Spirit. They are a stink to him. How do you think he feels about all that stuff spurting out of our hearts? Listen, if God himself thinks enough to place the Holy Spirit to live in your and my life, then we should think enough of him to give him a clean place to live in. That's all I'm saying. That's reasonable, isn't it? And you think that's reasonable? This heart of ours, this body of ours, is the home of the Holy Spirit. And listen, he can't get out even if he wanted to. Don't you think we should make his home nice, comfortable, clean, tidy, no rubbish laying around? Don't you think? What do you think about the Holy Spirit living in you anyway? Listen, would you like people walking past your home if it had no curtains on the windows and no panels on the wall, just the frame? Being able to see everything that's going on in there? No, we wouldn't. But many walk around with hardly any clothes on. They're showing off cleavage. They're showing off their chests, their thigh muscles, shoulders, their barren skin that should be covered. And I'm not just talking to ladies, I'm talking to the men too. And if you have an attitude that they shouldn't be looking, then you don't have Holy Spirit attitude at all. God's principles are not at work in your heart. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is grieved. Ladies, read 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Men, read Matthew 5, 28. Sit your family down. Study 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Our bodies are His home, and we should show Him the respect He deserves. People should not be trying to show the world how sexy they are. We believers should be showing the world how godly and holy we are. And if the Holy Spirit is good enough to live in us, well, let's live it, give Him a good place to live in. Let's consider Him instead of ourselves for a change. The Holy Spirit is also grieved by those tongues. They're like a tarp that hasn't been tied down properly on the back of a ute. They're just flapping all over the place. And it's a very good sign that those who have flapping tongues don't have a lot on the inside. They don't have much going on in there. Especially in their heads, amen. Not even to mention their hearts. If you're a gossiper and you like to pick on people and you're all nice and fine in church and you get home and you start bagging out on people, you're a liar. It's what you are. You're a deceiver. And we know who the father of that is. It hurts him when this sort of stuff goes on. And you and I need to recognize, we need to acknowledge that our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit that God placed in there, and He deserves the best of accommodation. And it grieves Him when the tongue is criticizing, when the tongue is complaining, when the tongue is condemning other people. Oh, do you hear what those people said? Oh, then they need to grow a lot in their Christian life. You know, you just grow some in your own. There is nothing more ungodly and unholy than a judgmental spirit. It stinks. And we have a lot of Christians who want to know all about the gossip that's going on. You see, they want all that stinking garbage that they can get. How would you like everyone's rubbish dumped in your lounge room? Everyone just come around and throw all their rubbish into your home. Would you like that? No, you wouldn't. Well, how do you think the Holy Spirit feels when you allow all that rubbish to be dumped in His home? All the gossip they dump in your ears being dumped down upon the Holy Spirit? How much rubbish have you dumped about the pastor and his wife? How much rubbish have you dumped about the deacons and their families? Not up to your standard, are they? Well, I don't see you picking up the plow. Dumping the rubbish about the Christians who are truly surrendered to serve in God's church faithfully. And you're a once a week Christian. You take what you can get though. Now when through January when we only had Sunday morning services, a pastor rung me up while I was talking and he was only having Sunday morning services. And I said to him, and we laughed for quite a while. I said to him, now I know what it means to be a Sunday morning Christian. We were bored. It's like these people, they come and they pile up their plates with food, but they never bring enough to feed someone else. They're quick, though, to let the tongue loose. If they miss out, oh, not much to eat today. What are they doing? They're casting seeds of doubt. they're casting seeds of discord. It'd just be simply better if they bought something, amen. Listen, tell the gossipers to go somewhere else and dump their garbage because you don't want it. Now, if you really don't want it, then put a lid on your own garbage bin so they can't put anything in there. Give the Holy Spirit a rubbish-free environment. What else grieves him? I had to cut this short. I went from 16 pages to 8 just to show a bit of grace. Hurt feelings. Oh, hurt feelings. You don't know what they said about me. Not talking about the Lord, that grieves his Holy Spirit. Not given to real stewardship, that hurts the Holy Spirit. Facing persecution with complaints, that grieves the Holy Spirit. He's grieved also when we quench him, when we let him go out, when we extinguish the fire he wants to let rage within us. It grieves him. You see, whatever obstructs, whatever suppresses, whatever hinders or dampens the work of the Holy Spirit in one's soul not only grieves him, but the Bible says it's forbidden because it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And we should not, as believers, want to grieve him. We should recognize when we do and seek God's forgiveness for it. And if we give him the rightful place in our lives, we won't be gossiping about others. We won't be thinking bad thoughts about others. We will not be selfish and self-centered and self-glorifying and self-gratifying. We won't desire self on the throne of our lives at all, because we will see the Holy Spirit for who he is. God's gift to us. Christ's Spirit within us. Bringing glory and honor to the Father. And brothers and sisters, let's provide for him the home he deserves. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's so much more that could be said. And we thank you for the position you have placed us in. And may we recognize, Lord, that you are in us. And it hurts you. It makes you sorrowful that we not live according to your word. That we treat your Spirit in a way where he doesn't really matter. Father, you have told us we have victory. That we know, Lord, that with you, we have nothing to fear. And may we have as our prayers, allow the Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of your Son. That we would recognize, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And if we think we can't do it, may we remember that nothing is impossible for you. We need but to surrender and submit ourselves to the leading of your Spirit. Father, we praise you and thank you that our redemption is not based on our work. And we thank you even more that the work of your Spirit is to conform us to the image of your Son. And may we not grieve him, Lord. May we take stock of what we say, where we go, how we behave, what we think. And that what we do all for the glory of your name. And these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.